I'm just a face in the crowd. You probably don't know me as I don't stand out.
And now a face from that crowd that gathered in Washington, D.C. 50 years ago tomorrow.
My poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
It was a crowd of 250,000 people who witnessed that speech by Dr. Martin Luther King, people who came from across the country converging on the Washington Mall for a march remembered today as a high mark of the civil rights movement, but which was also a complicated piece of political radicalism that defined the decade of the 1960s. Our partner, the New York Times, solicited its readers to submit stories of that day from people who were there. Today's story comes from Dorothy Pittman Hughes, a civil rights activist who also helped to organize the march. She and the people who came to Washington brought their experiences of racism in the South to the cities of the North, a mission to make the civil rights struggle the national struggle it became.
I was from Georgia, and the way that the communities are built, we are still building black communities in the country. And the way the community is built, black people lived on one side of the railroad track and white people lived on the other side. And they worked together every day. But on weekends, there were KKK rides down through the community. They could just shoot in the window. So on Friday night, usually, we slept on the floor on a pallet. My mother and father would take the mattresses off the bed and put them on the floor, and that way we had more protection. So I came up in a time when racism was really heavy. We didn't have integrated schools. The books that I had to use, that we used, were always books coming from the white schools, and they always had insults written all through them. The N-word and all kinds of problems. So I grew up developing ways to survive. And when Emmett Till was killed, that was the end of it for me. I didn't look back. I just got totally into the movement, and I'm still here.
So all that KKK shooting and the N-words in the textbooks was all about telling young people like you, don't get any ideas. Don't you think for a minute that you're going to step out of this place we have you. And just the opposite happened.
Well, the opposite happened across the country in a lot of ways. But to tell you the truth, it's the same thing is still happening now. People don't have to get under sheets anymore. They just openly say, I'm taking back my country, as if the country belongs to them. The Trayvon Martin situation was just like the Emmett Till situation. And here we are, years later, after Dr. King, we are going through the same thing. If you look at Harlem, I spent years in Harlem from 1957 until 2001. And it is totally gentrified now. People who have lived in Harlem for years, and it was considered the Black Mecca, you can hardly find a family who's able to afford an apartment in Harlem today. So the same thing is going on. Dr. King spoke for Dr. King. He spoke for us, but he didn't speak for America. And we're still suffering. And people are afraid to talk about racism. But we need to get there. Because without economic empowerment, there really is no change in the local communities.
Can you describe what you saw 50 years ago at the March on Washington when you suddenly realized just how many people had decided to participate?
I'd never seen so many people in my life. I cried a lot. Everybody around me were crying. I saw also the possibility of sisterhood. I was out there with people of all races from everywhere. And now, by the time of the march, we were not just dealing with civil rights and human rights. We were dealing with women's rights as well. And I really didn't know how connected all of those things were. So Dr. King's speech really was, he was speaking, but we felt that he was speaking for all of us.
You know, so many of us know of the March on Washington as Dr. King's speech and the memorable words of that speech and the dream. But I'm wondering if there's another vision, a snapshot that you carry with you of that day that we could have to fill out our picture of what happened 50 years ago.
Well, I actually think that if we look at what's going on now and we decide that we didn't finish the job and that we need to respect Dr. King's work enough to actually finish the job, everyone should take this 50th anniversary opportunity to really look at oneself and say, what have I done? What can I do to make America a real strong, beautiful place? Because I'm still suffering. I still have pain of racism, classism, and sexism.
Well, before we go, Dr. King, of course, said that he has a dream of a future America. And he said to the crowd, I might not get there with you. I'm wondering what Dorothy Pittman Hughes' dream is now. What would you change tomorrow? What would you make right to continue that vision that you saw 50 years ago?
What I would change right now is actually I'm doing what I want to do. And what I'm doing is I'm teaching parents and children and just community persons to grow food for themselves. The one thing that I think saved me a lot was the fact that I could think better if I wasn't hungry. And I walked out of our back door in Georgia into a garden. And across the street was a pear trees. And the pig pen was back there. The chicken coops was back there. The cows were back there. We weren't hungry. We were poor, but we weren't hungry. There is too much poverty right now. And people can look across the world and see hungry children, and they can't look down the block and see hungry children. And anybody listening, come on, work here. Do America. Feed some children down the street. Help.
Remembering 50 years after the March on Washington, Dorothy Pittman Hughes, thanks so much.
I thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you.
Dorothy Pittman Hughes, civil rights activist who helped to organize the March on Washington 50 years ago this week.